All in favor? Colleen Thompson, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Am I still voting, even though Matt's here? Yes?
Yes.
Marian Johnson, aye.
You're just, it's Josie that, if there's any missing member, you get to sit in. So Josie is missing.
All right.
Did you vote?
I wasn't there at the last meeting.
Sorry, that's right.
That's okay.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and does anybody have any comments about the August minutes? So I'll make a motion to approve the August minutes.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Marian Johnson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move to, we always have public comments at the beginning of the meeting. If anyone has any public comments, Peg or Michelle will recognize and you can speak.
I don't see any raised hands or anybody blurting anything out.
So Lee Nellis is with us again tonight, which we've, gosh, Lee, I don't know, it's been like a year or so now that you've been here monthly with us and helping us with so many things this year. Tonight, we'll do necessary subdivision ordinance amendments, the build-out capacity discussion. To start with, and you wanted to go ahead and start with the build out, Lee?
Yes, I think that's the biggest and perhaps the most vague and ambiguous thing, so that we need to get started on it so we can get to a point where we see how everybody feels. We've had conversations for nearly a year now about development potential in Boulder, and we worked our way through a lot of questions about commercial uses and just have some wrap up to do on campgrounds and guest ranches, I think, when it comes to commercial, and we'll be in pretty good shape there. And so now we turn to the idea of residential development, which is the bigger potential. And after talking about the water supply or the lack of water supply, after talking about the potential for wells, and after talking about what the existing zoning means, it occurred to me that however tedious it might be, we needed to do a build out study. And so I have taken a look at every parcel in Boulder, and there are quite a few of them. Fortunately, Boulder is no larger than it is. And in the course of that, tried to determine what the potential for residential building with the 5-acre minimum lot size is. And there are a few exceptions or potential errors in there, some of which is just about the detail of the imagery on which the analysis of the parcels are based, but that makes almost no big difference. There are some subdivision lots that are already platted that exist that are vacant. And we simply are going to live with those. There's no reasonable way to erase a subdivision lot, whether it makes sense to have a subdivision lot right there or not. That's a bit more than 20 potential homes. There's also some non-conforming lots around that are not 5 acres. And you have to give the owners of those lots some reasonable use of them. There's about 30 of them. Most of them are odd shaped or are pretty obviously used as part of the grounds of an adjacent residence. And so I doubt that there's more than half a dozen potential non-conforming homes that you might have to approve on less than 5 acres. But of course, the big potential is on the vacant land that is not subdivided. And after going through all of that, one parcel at a time, using the tax records as my guide, as well as aerial photography, you come up with enough acres gross to yield 670 potential new lots. But subdivision is never a perfectly efficient process. For one thing, there have to be streets, right? And those are going to be deducted from the area available for lots. There are also utility rights of way and other necessities of development that reduce the efficiency of subdivision. And then there are natural conditions. Some of the lots are pretty close to solid rock. I did not adjust downward hard for natural conditions. That's just too inaccurate. It's better to overestimate a little bit here and assume that the difficulties of developing certain parcels will limit the number of homes perhaps a bit more than this. And once I had made the adjustments for the potential for streets and utility rights of way and so on, I came up with a number of 503 new lots. Now there's going to be some new commercial if Boulder grows. And so just to make things come out to nice round numbers, I figured let's say there's going to be 53 commercial parcels. That may be a bit high, but it leaves us with a nice number to talk about, which is the potential for 450 new residential lots. And before everybody takes a gasp at how many that is, I want to add that in the course of my analysis, I tried to determine as best I could whether a parcel was irrigated or not. And that is not a perfect science when you're working strictly from aerial photography. But to the extent that I'm right, and I'm right to a pretty big extent, 90% of those 450 new lots would be on parcels that are at least partially irrigated. So the new residential development that is possible under the 5 acre zoning is going to have potentially a really, really big impact on the irrigated agricultural character of Boulder. And all I want to say beyond that, while that number sinks in, is that I've also been talking to people at the Utah Geological Survey in an effort to find out what we do and do not know about water resources in Boulder. And the reality is that we don't know very much. There are no geological studies that are sufficiently specific to answer questions about groundwater. And there's not a whole lot more than that on surface water. So I have proposed here in this memo that you add something to the general plan calling for a future, and hopefully not very far in the future, study of what the groundwater particularly will support. Could it really support 450 new wells or some significant share of that? And what would be the impact of 450 new septic systems in Boulder on that groundwater resource? Those are really unavoidable and important questions, but I think that what I would like to hear from the Planning Commission and others is, how do you feel about 450 new homes? That's essentially your official policy. You've zoned most of the private land in Boulder for 5 acre lots, and that's where we end up with that zoning. And then of course, it's actually a little more than 450 because of the existing subdivision lots and the potential for a teeny handful of non-conforming lots. So you could be up 470, 480, really. If that's okay, then we don't have to change much. If that is, for one reason or another, not okay with people, then we are probably going to have a very long conversation about how we might change that. But the first question is really quite straightforward. Is looking ahead to a future with 450 new residential lots okay? if it is, that makes everyone here's job easier. If it's not, then we probably need to have another conversation.
I'll weigh in. So for me, obviously we don't know the details, but it seems like too many, but I'm coming from the aspect of that the water supply determines the limits and development of Boulder simply. And so until we have that information, how do we actually plan accurately for the future? Because that to me is the baseline limiting factor of how many people can settle here. That's all I'll say for now.
This is Cookie Schaus. I would like to weigh in too on it, or just ask a question. Did Lee, did you have a chance to talk to Randy Catmull about Boulder Farmstead Water and what
no,
he thought?
I have not had that conversation at this point in time. I think that if we're gonna try to do a water supply study, that probably is something that needs to be done by Utah Geological Survey or another comparable organization, and let them get through all the details and get it, because the reality is that right now under Utah law, anybody pretty much can sink a well. And so there are distribution limitations that are referenced in the general plan on the existing water system. There are some capacity limitations, and yet those don't prevent a person from saying, hey, I'm not going to hook on to the water company. I'm going to drill a well. And there are, some of you I know have looked at the map. There's an amazing number of wells in Boulder already. And so I think rather than picking pieces of it, my sense is that we need to just say, hey, it's, if we can figure out how to get it done, we need to have a comprehensive look at this, probably undertaken by hydrologists who can give the comprehensive picture. I've heard the number that the water company can supply 80 more units. That's quite a lot fewer than 450. And if that were really the limit, then people might say, 80 more units is way different than 450. I don't know what you'd say, but people could say, hey, that's not so challenging. But the reality is that right now there's no limitations to speak of on the ability to sink a well.
So my only comment is the fact that when you look at Boulder right now and the statistics that Lee has given us, my comment is always infrastructure. Like, we're not only talking about wells, but the septic situation is what bothers me. And how we get past also having everybody have their own septic system here in town and what that does to our water. So it's not just water, it's also septic, because we don't have a town sewer situation to accommodate 80, let alone 405 or however many units at this point. I think that's those two things that bother me. And I don't know, one of the things that's interesting is I think we look in town, a lot of us, and realize that in the next decade, there is the potential for a lot of this land to change hands. And right now I'm watching in Torrey and in Escalante, towns that are changing their agricultural properties into residential, commercial. They're changing their zoning ordinances. And Duck Creek, is adding a new sewer system to their area over there, and what is our future going to be here? You know, how do we start moving in that direction of what we see that's going to happen?
This is Haley Apperson, and I mean, it seems, you know, like what Matt and Colleen, everyone's kind of saying is the information, you know, getting the information on water and septic seems pretty pertinent to figuring out how much we can grow, you know, what infrastructure would need to be put in place, you know, to get to that big number. Not that that's the goal, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems like it's hard to move forward without knowing the information first.
Another thing is, I've mentioned this over the last couple of years too, and I'm originally from Boulder City, Nevada, which is right outside of Vegas. Most of you know that. And Boulder City has always been able to keep its small town feel because it never had a no growth ordinance. It had a limited growth ordinance. And so I did live in a town where I did see that Henderson and Las Vegas were growing around us, but Boulder City really wasn't because they had limitations that they had put into place that worked for them. And so it's possible.
This is Marian Johnson. Can you hear me? I agree thoroughly with everything that Matt and Colleen and Cookie have said. When you think about the plan for the town of Boulder, and they came and, you know, asked people what they wanted, and do we want a small town feel, or do we want 450 new housing units put in, you know? How big do we want Boulder to be? What, you know, I think the consensus was that we wanted to keep things fairly close to what, you know, a small town feel and everything. And so the water is a huge concern for me. So I'm thinking what Matt was saying about studies, more studies definitely needs to be done. And the septic is huge too. So I agree with everything that's been said so far.
So where can we go from here, Lee? Is it, I mean, as the planning commission, can we advise the town council to put, you know, to do a study hydrologically, not only for the available water, but also the how, you know, septic systems may affect that growth as well?
He's muted.
Okay, sorry. You can certainly ask the council to begin trying to figure out how to get such a study done. You would have to get in line with Utah Geological Survey. So it would probably be a year or more out, even if the money was in hand to do this. And I can't imagine that figuring this out is very controversial in terms of, yeah, let's see if we can find funding. There may be some grant possibilities that would help you with this research. And the town will need to poke into those and see what's out there. My understanding is that the state will provide at least some match if you work with Utah Geological Survey, but I am not in a position to say anything about the details of that. I've had some conversations with them, but didn't get into the nitty gritty. They're certainly capable and willing, given the timing that they can work with to do it. I think that's one set of questions, and it's the easiest set of questions to focus on. The question that I would ask back to you is, okay, let's say that the town is pursuing this either trying to find the funding or has a study actually underway, and someone comes in with a subdivision application for a substantial number of 5-acre lots, do you want to evaluate that proposal in light of the overall build out and in light of the water study, or are you going to make the assumption that you can absorb some number of new lots in the interim until you have a different answer? If you're willing to take that risk, I'm not sure how large a risk it is or how small a risk it is, then okay. If you're not, then you're going to have to do one of two things, which is to either impose a moratorium on the platting of lots, which you have the power to do. It's going to be controversial, of course, but you could do that. Or you could say, look, we need to change the density that Boulder is zoned for, reduce the density in one way or another. And there's a discussion there about how you might choose to do that. And I guess the question is then a question about risk. Can you get a groundwater study done and act based on that before someone proposes substantial additional subdivision? I don't know. Nobody knows the answer to that. But it is a risk. And then, you know, are you willing to say, hey, wait a minute, slow down, stop. We don't know enough to permit any significant expansion until we have this hydrological study completed. Are you willing to take some action, whether it be a moratorium or a downzoning? Are you willing to do that?
And so have you seen other small towns like Boulder go through a downzoning or put up a moratorium? And
I've seen,
how have they handled it?
I've seen both. Brief moratoriums, generally speaking, either don't get challenged or are successfully defended. And so if you thought you could get the information that you wanted within a couple of years, then the legal risk of a moratorium is okay. The question about a moratorium is, are you willing to hold to it? Let's say that somebody that everybody knows and likes wants to create a new lot. There's a problem there, right? A community relations problem. And hey, it's only one lot, but can we treat that person differently than someone who wants to do 35 lots? It makes whatever you decide to do with the moratorium less defensible to the extent that you permit any exceptions, right? You got to try to treat everyone as close to equal as we possibly can. The downzoning is much more complicated and equally likely to be controversial. The difference is that if you are willing to weather that process, and it's going to generate a lot of discussion, we all know that. If you're willing to get through that process and crank things down, then you have stability for as long into the future as you need. If you're satisfied with the results of that downzoning process. Now, you know, beyond that, I can't advise you. You have to decide which type of controversy you would prefer to live with, or whether you're going to take the risk of not changing the regulations, focus all your energy on trying to get a determination about the groundwater, and move forward at that point in time. You know, there's no planning science in the ultimate decision that you make here. It's a matter of judgment and what you think is best for the community of Boulder. I will help you to the extent that I can, whichever path you choose to follow. There's there's not a whole lot more to do if you say, hey, let's do the water supply thing, except to get with your, you know, your association of governments and other sources about funding, and see where you could come up with money. If you want to write up the moratorium, we can do that. Talk about that. If you want to do some down zoning, then we can also talk about how you would like to proceed with that. It's the most complicated, of course, of the two choices, but it also sets you up better for the long run than a moratorium. So again, I can only advise you this far and say, here's your choices. You have to decide what's comfortable and feasible and reasonable there in Boulder. The only thing I will say to for other people get a chance to say is that you're looking at a huge change in the character of the community if you don't do something.
So I don't know how much time we have in this, Colleen, but I have one more question, Lee. So, I mean, a moratorium seems pretty straightforward to understand. Can you talk a little bit about what down zoning looks like?
Well, it seems to me that there's a couple of different versions of that. And I don't know that we need to take the time to go deeply into it, but the simplest, most straightforward way to do it from my perspective is to say, why would you downzone an area? Or what would the reason be other than because we think there is a water shortage, because we think there is a radical change in character coming if we permit this much additional residential development? And I don't think anybody's going to argue that it would be quite a change. How would you do that? To my mind, if what you're trying to do is protect the character of Boulder, you would downzone the irrigated land substantially and protect the irrigated land, leave a little more flexibility on non-irrigated parcels. And there are different ways to do that. You can allow people to transfer the right to build off of the irrigated to non-irrigated places, which means that you flex the 5-acre lot size and let people build things a little bit tighter. It wouldn't have to be much given how much space there is available in Boulder. And so you could come up with something that was defensible in the sense that it protected what to me is the single most important element in the character of the community, which is those irrigated lands and the agriculture they support. Now, the agricultural people are going to feel targeted by that. And some of them might think that's okay, and others might not think it's okay at all. But it's probably the right way to start is to say, hey, let's protect our most critical resource here in terms of the character of this community by downzoning it substantially, allowing for some transfer development rights to non-irrigated lands, and which gives the owners of irrigated lands at least some tangible value there, and run with that until the hydrological study is concluded and we see what the potential really is. It may be, you know, the potential for contamination ends up trumping the water supply issue. We just don't know the answer to that question with anything except a guess at this point in time, and we should not guess about this stuff. So, you know, that's my view of it. It's not the only way to do it. You could do a comprehensive downzoning and just say, hey, in the interim, until we have this hydrological study and are confident or more confident about what our carrying capacity is, we're going to downzone everything to 20-acre lots. Boom. Cut it in a quarter in one swoop. That's really much simpler, of course, but it's also, from some points of view, less defensible because it doesn't really take into account the different character of different parcels of land and the overall character of the community. So, there are multiple ways to do this. You can certainly propose it to the public by saying, hey, the downzoning is in place of a moratorium, so that instead of saying, hey, don't build, period, the downzoning allows a bit of building in the interim until we see where we're at. And what that means is that it's a, I guess we would say, a partial moratorium. It's a way of buying time that kind of splits the difference. It allows a certain amount of development, just not as much as is permitted now. And it gives you time to get to the answer that you want. And we don't know what that answer is going to be. I mean, quite literally, all one could do is guess. So I don't think anybody can say that you're, whichever choice you make, you're not aiming at some predetermined conclusion. You're basically saying we will wait to make any further changes until we understand the situation a whole lot better. So those are,
Steve, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry, you had your hand up. I just wanted to let you speak.
Yeah, no, if you can hear me, I've already been in touch with Jones and DeMille Engineering. You know, they've done a lot of engineering for the town, other rural communities. I've talked to them about doing a groundwater septic study. They do that for rural towns. They have hydrologic engineers, et cetera. I asked them a ballpark figure on a study. They said it was $30,000 or so. They think there are grants out there right now with sort of the infrastructure money as part of the American Rescue Plan. A lot of it focused on water and sewer projects. So, you know, just talking to them, they think there's money there that Boulder could access. We also have some matching money that has come to us as part of the American Rescue Plan. Their main thing was, you know, what parameters, what things do we want them to look at? I think they're very familiar with Boulder and also our culinary water system, because they've done a lot of work with Randy. So they're very knowledgeable about Boulder. But if you're interested in pursuing that, what I would ask the Planning Commission to do is maybe, you know, come up with what questions you have that need to be answered. And I'll connect you with the engineers that would want to maybe ask you more and focus this a little bit. But I do think there is money right now to do a study like that. And I think Jones and DeMille could direct that. They have a lot of ways of looking at funding and working with the agencies that I think Lee is talking about. So I wanted to let you know that I've already kind of sent out the feelers for that kind of study, and they're very willing to do that for Boulder and try to find some matching funds. So that's where we're at on my end.
Thank you, Steve.
I guess that I think it would be pretty easy to give you a list of questions that you could pose to this engineering firm that Steve is working with, or to anyone else, and talk about both the water supply and the water quality aspects. $30,000 sounds a little low to me based on experience, but they are familiar with the situation, and maybe they know more than I do. So they're there. And I
think he said 30K.
Yeah. And I think that Steve is right, that now is maybe about as good a time to get money for something like this as you're going to have. So, you know, you could perhaps get this moving fairly quickly. The private engineering firm's advantage is that they would be able to start more quickly than the state. And so that, in this case, might be a significant advantage to go in that direction. And I'll look at a list of questions and get something out to the Planning Commission here before too long. And I think that's a step that everybody is going to be comfortable taking. The question is, do you want to just let the ordinances rest as they are and figure that you'll be okay in the interim? Or do you want to take a step in the direction of saying, no, we don't want to approve development that ties our hands in the future. If we find out that we really do have some serious limitations and we've approved another 100 lots, then we might be done. And those lots might not be exactly how or where we think they're best. So up to you. In the final analysis, it's a risk assessment about how much change might happen while you're getting your answers.
Okay, thank you, Lee.
Sure.
So I think everybody on the Planning Commission needs to kind of think about that as far as what direction we do want to go. Steve's definitely moving with Jones and DeMille and finding out more information in what direction the town does want to take. So go ahead. So Gladys is here.
First of all, I hate these places like this, but since we're going along with this discussion, I'm glad I'm supposed to be a member of town board, also a property owner. And I've been trying to, first of all, I appreciate what the Planning Commission does. You know, I'm not trying to be critical, because I know we're all wanting to be able to look in the ball and see the answers, or aren't it? Okay. I'm really concerned about this limiting property development. I understand we're trying to keep agriculture. Sorry, that's a dream. There's no one involved who makes money on agriculture. No one. People who probably, if you look, 90% of the people who live here, they live on pieces of property that the property was divided because there was no money to make agriculture. There was no money in agriculture, so they subdivided it. I understand what you're trying to do, so I have a few comments to make, and this is concerning the housing situation, the guest ranch thing, and the RV park. Maybe we need to look at the housing situation. We're always saying we don't have enough housing. Maybe we need to be a little bit more flexible on employee housing for the employees who are already here. Because that seems to be one of the big housing issues, that there isn't housing for employees. So maybe we ought to be a little bit more creative and be a little bit more flexible about employers who can figure out ways to supply housing for the employees. Next thing is the guest ranch. And I realize that we don't know yet what rules we're following on that yet. But one thing I would like the Planning Commission to look at is more flexibility on guest ranches. Perhaps that is a way to create income on some of these agriculture lands. I have concerns about limiting only 10 units. I'd say that would depend on what size of property the person is going to put the guest ranch on. I think you need to be a little bit more flexible on what you're allowing on guest ranches. There was a discussion in the last meeting about, okay, are the cabins allowed to have cooking facilities? I certainly think so, and I did some research. There are quite a few guest ranches that do have cooking facilities in their cabins. Next, the RV park. And I'm thinking about Ray right now, but it could apply to anyone. It is a huge investment that he's looking at, or anyone else, putting in an RV park. I'm not sure on a year-round basis it will just, what we're looking at, if it's going to make it feasible financially for him. So perhaps we should be more flexible on that. I think one of the things we talked about was having attendance full time. I think a whole lot of that depends on, what if you don't have anyone in there that's your RV park? Why would you need to hire an attendant? So maybe we need to be a little flexible on that. If we're wanting to say he's got to, an RV park has to supply showers, bathroom facilities, things like that. Maybe you ought to maybe allow public laundry facilities also. Maybe also on this, you could allow storage sheds. So the person who is putting this money into the development, if they want it, can put in storage sheds. Maybe you want to make, since it is a conditional use, maybe you want to yearly look this over. I'm sorry, sir, you have so many guests at your RV park, you need a full-time attendant there. And so we look at things like that. But we have to also, in our planning, if we want to keep these agricultural lands, we have to make, we've got to figure out how we're going to be able to make that agriculture land support itself, and it's not going to be on agriculture. Because there's some outside things that we have no control over that definitely influence what little bit of agriculture land you have left here. Thank you for your time. I appreciate this job you guys do at the Planning Commission.
Are you there, Lee?
I'm here.
Okay. And does any, so I kind of wanted to end on what we had talked about before, what we were talking about, and move on to the subdivision ordinance amendments. Is that all right, Lee?
Sure. I think we've exhausted the topic of the build-out study for now, and we need to come back to it at the next meeting and say, okay, what's your path? What path do you feel most comfortable following? And we can certainly talk about questions about the RV parks and so on. But I'd like to get on to what really has been kind of a more pressing issue with the subdivision things. I think it's really quite straightforward in terms of the changes that I proposed to you. And let me just say, this was prompted by people who are coming in who wish to divide land. The definitions as they had been written several years ago deducted the lot area that's in an easement from the lots, and that made the subdivision fall below 5-acre minimum. And so we looked at that and talked about it because people really didn't feel the subdivision would create a problem. And I guess that's still the decision or the assumption. So I wrote an amendment here that defines easements, defines rights of way, defines streets, and does what is typical for other communities, which is to say that the area of a right-of-way is outside of any lot. Okay, so it cannot be counted into minimum lot size, but easements, and there are a whole lot of different types of easements, as most of you understand, power line easements, utility easements for either underground or overhead utilities, road easements. I mean, there's conservation easements that cover the whole property. It is really, really uncommon to do what had been done in the definitions in Boulder and to deduct the area of an easement out of a lot. And so really, when you boil what I did down, there's a lot of work here because I was trying to get the definitions to be right. But what you boil it down to from a practical applied point of view is that we are no longer going to deduct the area of an easement from the lot. Boom. That's the bottom line of this amendment. And I, people have looked back into why this was done in the first place, and I'm not sure anybody has come up with the reason that it was done. It must have been something very specific that caused the town to do that. But what I've done here is just to try to improve your definitions as a basis for moving on into the future, talking about streets, rights of way, and those things. This is all work that supports a whole lot of other decisions besides the one you're facing. The only question that it raises is about private streets. And I would like to talk about the pros and cons of private streets and then add a separate definition of private streets if you're gonna permit them. But other than that, there's nothing here that actually changes standard development practices. It's bringing Boulder back into line with the way almost everybody else does it. And I will be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, I have no questions. It seems pretty straightforward. Anyone else?
I feel the same way. I think everybody can read what's up on the computer right now.
Peg, to enlarge it.
Peg, can you enlarge that, please? I think we do need to, you've talked about double usage of words and cleaning it up a little bit. And I think that's what we're trying to do right now, is clean this up because it was very ambiguous. So does anybody have any comments about the way that Lee has done this?
Elaine, this is Peg. I just want to let everyone know that if they want to read this, it is posted on the website, so you could also look at it that way. The Planning Commission website. Our meeting for tonight specifically.
And so Lee, you were talking about the way that a street will be defined. Are you talking about like down on number 5 or just?
Well, the whole thing kind of builds on itself. And,
right.
You know, there are supporting pieces of this, but the ordinances you have it now actually has two different definitions of street, which is probably not the way you want to go into the future, right?
No.
And so I have put in a more detailed definition of street that I think will cover future needs pretty much forever. Put in a definition of easement, and there was no definition of easement in your code at all. And we talk about easements a lot. We need to have a definition there that provides some guidance. And the other thing that this did is that it gave the Planning Commission a very vague power to change the rules for at least for small proposed developments. Where they found a hardship, and Utah law and the national law of planning and zoning is that the way you deal with hardships is through variances. And so something was inserted in here that just really sounds a dead note to anybody who's reading this and understands the law of planning and zoning. They're going to say, no, wait a minute, that's not right. And so that's gone. And it basically says that whoever wants to develop will provide a street plan. Nothing new or remarkable about that. And the developer has to show how that plan either extends and matches the existing streets or how it's changed to match the terrain. There are places in Boulder where you would not want to extend an existing street, where you could not. Very easily do that at all in some places. And it says that you can have the plan the subdivider presents reviewed by an independent engineer if you want to. It says that you have to have a permit from UDOT if you're getting access to the highway, which is the law, whether we put it here or not. That's it. It just is a very, very simple approach to how you would regulate the street layout in subdivisions. And it takes away the ambiguities and the potential inconsistencies with state law there in the hardship thing, and just says, hey, they give you a plan, you look at it. If you think you need help from an independent engineer, you get that help, and there you are.
Does anyone have any comments? Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to say the same. Any other comments? And then I have a question.
Yeah. Well, this makes sense to me. As with everything else that we've been doing, a lot of the language in the old ordinances have needed to be cleaned up. And I think that this does that. And it's a good start. And maybe this is the way we'll leave it. We ran across a problem recently with the wording, and I'm glad that we started right at this issue as far as the streets. And I like how it reads, and I don't know if anyone else has any comments on it.
Okay, I'm going to assume that's a no. So the question now is, do we need a public hearing on this to vote on it, or how does
you
it,
have
how
to
does
have a public hearing for any amendment to the code? And so okay. You could certainly have a motion tonight to schedule a hearing on this for your next meeting. And what I would suggest, given that I feel there's some urgency in fixing the basic issue here, is to not worry about private roads and to have a conversation about them along with the conversation about these amendments at the next meeting. And then we could make an amendment to this pretty easily if we wanted to. Driveways really don't belong in the subdivision ordinance because they're on a single lot. They're a zoning issue, not a subdivision issue, right? And so we probably need to take private driveways out of the subdivision regulations. Except to the extent that we're worried about their intersection with the public street, maybe. And we can talk about what, if anything, we need to put about driveways over into the zoning side of this. But if you want to provide some relief for people who are trying to parcel off some land and are inhibited by this whole thing about including the area of easements, then this will do that. It will do it simply, and I'd say have a motion tonight to set a hearing on it, send it to the council at your October meeting, and it could be adopted and in place, before the end of the year.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to put this up for a public hearing in October.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor? Matt Cochran, aye.
Cookie Schaus, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Marion Johnson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye. Okay. So I think that's it basically for you, Lee, right? Mm-hmm. So we got both those things done tonight. That was great. Thank you for all your information and for your help. And we will definitely see you next month.
Yep. I'm going to be very interested to hear what people have to say about the build-out study after thinking about it a bit longer. It occurs to me that what I should do, the answer that I made to questions from Matt and others about what are your options, I'll write up a little memo, nothing long or fancy, that says, here's the options that we talked about, just so that it's in writing for people to think about, and get that out to you well before your next meeting. And then hopefully at the next meeting, we can have a direction. And, in the meantime, I will also send a list of hydrology questions out for people to look at, and the mayor can continue his discussions with the engineers about maybe finding some money to do what I think we all agree is a really important bit of research for the town. And with that, I will wish you luck at your public hearing and see you next time.
Thank you, Lee.
Yeah, thank you for all the help last meeting, too, to get us to this public meeting and make it a lot easier.
Right. No, but I think you have a pretty easy decision in front of you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
So I noticed in here, before we open up the public hearing for Hills and Hollows for the amended CUP that we're doing tonight for the Burger Wagon, we usually have comments or questions before we actually go into the the public hearing, and then we have comments from the public. So what I want to do right now is go ahead and see if there are any questions. I think we have Sean, we have Alisa here. Sean, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. So what we're going to do is open it up to the public, basically, or anyone if they have any questions. And then Peg, do you have their documents that we might be able to see? Or do you?
I just tell me which ones to bring up. I think you can wait. Yeah, you can see the screen, right?
Yeah.
Documents. These are what Sean and Alisa submitted. So tell me which one you want me to put up first.
I guess we'll use, I think there's 10 of them. And I think the thing is that what I'm going to mention again tonight, too, is that we are changing the way that we're doing things as far as the codification, the conditional use permits. We have the standards now. And so the documents are, CUPs are basically changing. So what we do have are documents that Sean provided for the original information that we needed for a CUP. And also some of the new documents that we have. So I'm going to just have Peg run through these documents, and Michaela has looked at these documents and gone through them, and you feel good about this as far as everything that's been into us.
I feel fine about everything. I think having a conversation about the septic, but everybody saw the email from Sean and Alisa. So I think that would be my only, that was my real big question.
Okay. So I guess if you'll just run through those really quickly.
Okay. First of all, there's a summary, which is just a page long description of what the project is. So again, this is on the website if you want to take a look and read this in detail, but he describes access, where the serving area is, hours of operation, what it looks like, where it's located on the property. So it's a nice description of
before we go any farther, the planning commissioners, has everyone looked at these documents that Sean and Alisa have provided for this amendment for the CUP?
Yes, I've looked at them all and content with all the work they've done.
Okay. Haley?
I've looked at it too. This is Cookie. I just have a few questions that don't really, I mean, they can answer or not. It's mostly just curiosity about the project.
Well, is there anyone in the public? I don't see any hands or any comments as far as the public, and that's why I kind of stepped on anybody's feet. But is there anyone in the public? I can't see Peg. Are there any questions?
This is Ray Nelson. I have a question.
Can we hold just a second, Ray? I want to just make clear, you're just asking for questions right now, so that's fine. We still, you have not yet gone officially into public hearing.
Right. We have not gone into the public hearing. I didn't really see anybody's hands up, so I made that statement as far as directing it to the town the planning commission, but I do see that we do have public, and I want them to be able to answer any questions. So, sorry.
So, Ray, go ahead.
I couldn't figure out how to raise my hand, and I have something pertaining to...
So, Ray Nelson, we...
I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
And then Donna, I'll go ahead. We'll get you next. So,
okay.
So go ahead,
thank you.
Ray.
I've been looking at this plat map, the Hills and Hollows subdivision plat A, and I guess my question about it is, first of all, there's no signatures on this plat map, so I'm wondering, is this thing still in progress, or is this just a sample? And along with that, I have concerns. I have in my property right next to it, I have a well. And the Utah Department of Environmental Quality states that no septic systems can be within, in my case, in the type of well I have, within a radius of 200 feet. And I would like to have that shown on this plat. And in that 200-foot radius, I would like to have a note put that there will be no septic systems, drain fields added in the future that lie within that 200-foot radius. Now, the existing drain field that they have is right on the border of that, but that's already there. There's nothing that can be done about that. But anything in the future, I want to keep out of that 200-foot radius.
Wouldn't that be addressed in the future when we propose something of putting a new septic system in?
Well, no, I think at the time to put it is on this subdivision plat map, so that it isn't, if I'm not here to bring it up, then it's there on record now.
We're not doing a subdivision tonight. This is just an updated conditional use permit.
And there was no plat map requested. It's a map to help everybody understand what's going on.
Okay.
Correct.
That's fine. My question is this plat map going to be something in the future that's going to be just... is this the current plat map that's underway?
This is a pre-existing plat map used to illustrate where exactly the food truck goes. Everything else is existing.
No, but my question was, is do you intend to have this an official plat map at some point?
I do not intend that. This was the time for official plat mapping.
Okay. That's the only comment I have.
Okay, thank you, Ray. Donna?
Okay, I actually have nothing to say about the burger truck right now because I think Sean will do an excellent job. It was a reference to...
do you have questions about?
I didn't, we're not... I'm sorry, do you want... Should I speak now?
As long as it has to do with what we're talking about, the amendment for the conditional use permit.
I thought you were still opening it up to the public before the public hearing, any comments they wanted to make.
I am, and so I do want to keep it to the questions for the amendment for the conditional use permit.
Oh, I'm sorry, I did not know that. No, this had to do with a discussion on the previous amendment that you're going to look at next month, and I didn't have a chance to say anything.
And then we have public comments at the end of the meeting.
Okay, I'll save it for then. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Donna. John? John Varenth, are you there?
Yeah, I think I've unmuted now. I will at the public hearing, I will have some comments about the plat map. I just wanted to indicate that when you open it for the public hearing, I'll talk on that. No other questions. I think the documents pretty well are self-explanatory.
Okay, so I don't see any other questions. Does anyone in the public have any questions? So we will open up the public hearing for the Hills and Hollows amended CUP. I'll make a motion that we open the public hearing for this conditional use permit. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Chrissy Schaus, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye. I don't know if this, yeah.
Wait, finish the vote, please. Marion?
I can't get through. Can you hear me?
I can't now, yes.
Marion Johnson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye. So the public hearing is now open, and if there are any public members that have comments, we will open that up for you now.
Hey, Peg, will you stop your screen share?
Yes.
See everybody, and thank you. Okay. John Varenth.
John?
Thank you. John Varenth and Martha is here with me. We are the owners of the adjacent property. And as I've stated, I've always been very supportive of Hills and Hollows. I do want to make a remark on the record that the what he calls the north driveway access is on my property. And although I'm willing to at some point do a official easement, we have never actually put in any kind of recorded easement for that north driveway. The plat map basically shows it, and the one note that says access easement, the arrow only points onto the Hills and Hollows or Ballast Rock LLC property. So I did want to indicate that for the record, that access driveway is actually on my property. I've always been very generous in allowing people to park on pizza nights and so forth. But that should be noted by the Planning Commission in approving this.
That's a really good point, John. Thank you. On the picture, I see the red line drawn over there, and we don't have anything there. So thank you very much for bringing that up.
Yeah, and it's something we will get resolved at some point. The other one I did want to comment on, I looked at the letter from the Department of Health regarding the septic, which Ray has also brought up. That's a very ambiguous letter. It basically says the existing system was never permitted and they're not going to offer any opinion on that. I'm not sure that it seems that there, and Ray has brought up the concern that that septic system may be too close to their, to his well. So I think there is an issue there that does need to be addressed. About whether the septic system in fact meets the ordinances. I think that ordinances do require an approved septic system. So that's a little confusing.
Yeah, the septic, I've had the septic system measured out and have drawings on it. They're just not the ones that were submitted, but the current septic system is definitely outside of the range from the well, and that can be proven, but the health department didn't have anything else to say other than that letter. That's the best we could get out of them for a pre-existing.
Yeah. I mean, what the letter basically says is the system doesn't seem to have been overloaded, so we don't think that the addition of the restaurant will overload it. And I guess that's all they're willing to commit to on a system where they didn't do the construction inspection. So those are my main comments. The setback seems to be adequate. So that's not an issue, but the septic is important for public health and certainly needs to be done right. And I think that's the Planning Commission's job to make sure it is done right. So thank you very much. And that's all I have for now.
Yeah. Is that a question or is that just a statement?
John, these are just people's statements right now in the public hearing.
Thanks.
Ray, did you have another comment?
Yes, I did. I've looked into this septic system that Hills and Hollows has over several years, and they've done several repairs on the septic system. And I've inquired with the Southwest Health Department about that. I've looked into the Utah DEQ Department of Environmental Quality on their water and in their codes, the DEQ codes require that if there is any additional effluents sent into the system, or if there are any repairs to the system, they're supposed to be engineered, permitted, and inspected. And so I questioned DEQ on that. I called them up and I talked to them, and they basically said to me is that, yeah, but we don't enforce that. However, the town of Boulder could enforce that if they had the choice. And it seems to me that, over the last few years, they've added a couple restrooms and showers. They've added an apartment. Now they're going to add some more effluent going in from the food truck. And all of that's adding to this septic system. And there's no drawings, no engineering done on it. And maybe it's time to just look into that. The letter that came out from the Southwest guy, which is very ambiguous, he basically says, we have no record, we'll take no responsibility. If something goes wrong, it's Hills and Hollows' problem, which is in my mind, that's kind of a poor way to looking at protecting your water and environment and septic systems. And maybe it's time for Boulder to step up and say, we need to start looking at septic systems, and maybe we want to enforce the laws that DEQ is not enforcing.
Thank you, Ray. Is there any other comments?
I'm not seeing hands raised. Anybody want to speak? And say your name first for the recording, please. No one. Crickets.
Okay, so I will make a motion to close the public hearing. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion, Matt Cochran. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Marian Johnson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye. Okay, so we are back to our meeting, and does anyone from the Planning Commission have any comments?
This is Cookie Shouse. I have just some questions. I'm a little confused about the property. I looked at all the plots, and come up with, is the whole area of Hills and Hollows, like, are we just talking about the 2.5 acres that it says on the plat map?
Sean, can you answer that?
I'll do my best to answer that. So yeah, the land is owned by Bouncing Rock LLC, and it's all one large map that okay. shows everything to be as disclosing as possible. But really, the only thing that is changing is just the additional food truck.
Okay, then I think I just want to, and this has to do with some of the questions about the septic, and I know that you're probably tired of hearing this, but I get that, like, there is a mobile home, there are 5 rentals, there are restrooms, the store, and the store has maybe a small little kitchen that's using the septic system that is in use now, not the I guess you have a second one that you haven't hooked up to. Is that right?
No, there's 2 that are in use right now, and I have drawings for a 3rd very large one if ever needed, but it's not needed from all the engineers I've had come out and do site maps, et cetera. But there's actually 2 I could screen share and show where they're at, but if you don't want to see that, it's effectively just north of or south of where the mobile home is.
Yeah. Okay, so there's 2 leach fields that are shown on your map.
Correct.
So that's taken care of. So then what I would like to ask about is I added up the parking areas, and I think you showed 36 parking areas for the whole place. But what I don't see is a location of the gas pumps.
Pumps are right in front of the store. I could add them. There is actually a location where you can see the gas tanks on one of them, and the gas pumps are directly in front of that. The laid out interferes with those, and it's really just drawn out as if there's a maximum amount, meaning that if we were to take city the way that people would do it in a city, where you would mark yellow lines every so often and show exactly where people are supposed to park, that's the maximum amount that you can measure out.
And so those parking spaces that you show that are, let's see, how can I say it, pointing towards, say, Highway 12, I think there's, 6 or 8 along there. Those are just kind of more fantasy parking areas, because would that be that when they pull out, they would be pulling into the same area that the gas pumps would be in?
No, that's actually where most of the people park right now, is where those are. They're right up against the ledge. I can pull up Google Maps and show everybody in screen share if you'd like, but there's, when you come to Hills and Hollows right now, typically if you come through past the gas stations heading south, most people would come from town heading south, and then they park catty corner. Ideally, every once in a while people will do it differently, but that's the idea, and usually as the employees park in those spots, those definitely get used currently.
Oh, okay. There's the parking areas that I was wondering about.
Yep. If we were to pull up Google right now or the map itself, if you see the large rectangle just at the northeast corner up a little bit, it's a gray one. Down a little bit, so along the highway, you can see where the gas tanks are, and the gas pumps are right about where you are, a little bit north, right here. Yeah.
Will you just enlarge that just a teeny little, just a bit? It's because that's really effective and that's really helpful. Thank you.
Are there any other comments?
Let's see. No, that answers all my questions. I just was curious about how the gas tanks were going to, or how the, I guess that island where the pumps are would fit into the parking places for right in front of the store, which is where I always park, and these ones that are on the perimeter. And it kind of would have been helpful to see that, but not necessary, I guess.
So one of the things that I want everyone to remember is when we talked to Lee Nellis last month, that nothing at Hilton Hollows is really changing right now. Not the amount of people, there have not been any showers added on, no bathrooms added on. Nothing is really being added on to. We are looking at what Hills and Hollows has and always has had, and we're just making an amendment for the food truck. And so that's one thing that I am hoping that everyone remembers with when Lee talked about this last month. Does anyone have any other comments? So before we make a motion, the other thing about the septic situation is I can't say that I was particularly thrilled with the letter from Southwest Public Health Department, but there isn't anything on this letter that says that they shouldn't go forward. They may not want to take responsibility for it, but they did not say anything negative in this letter or any comment as far as that we should not let this be allowed. And so Sean has made an effort to talk to Mitchell Christensen. I believe that he has given us what we need, and that's kind of my only comment as far as, I don't think anybody's particularly happy, but it wasn't a no, and that's where we would have had to have really looked at something here. So, and I'm not really sure whether we want to do anything about this easement that John Brandt brought up. It sounds like Sean and John, that is something that will go on between them. Is that correct? And so past that, I think we're ready to make a motion. Does anyone have any other comments?
Yeah, this is Haley Apperson. I just want to let everybody know I'll be recusing myself from this vote.
Okay, and Haley, will you just give just a quick sentence on why you're going to recuse yourself?
I'm recusing myself because there is a possibility that Magnolia Street Food would be running this new truck at Hills and Hollows if all goes through. So I just feel it best.
I just
wanted to do so.
Is that noted for the record? So okay. Thank you, Haley.
Thank you.
Morant has his hand raised, but I don't know.
Okay. John?
Yes, thank you. And I just did want, like I say, I've always cooperated with Hills and Hollows about that old road, the North Road. But I will note again that of the parking spaces that he's claiming, three of them are actually on my land. So I'd really appreciate that those be deleted from the parking count.
You're asking Sean to delete those from the parking?
What he's claiming, yeah, because he's showing parking for his business on my land. And I think on order. Although as an informal thing, I've never objected to anyone parking there. I certainly don't want a recorded town document showing that the town approved, that the town gave approval to using my property for parking.
Yeah, I would like to second that. So when this, just for clarity, when these were put together, this was, there was questions in the preliminaries asking, where do people park? It wasn't intended for parking. I actually don't think many people park as much on that side of the pumps as on the other. And I wouldn't want that to be reflected as an official document, nor do I think it was required. I think this was more to get everybody's minds around what is actually changing. And I think the concerns were brought to me that what if this brings a lot more parking? I don't really think it will. And I think all the people that would park on the south side, but I have no problem whatsoever with those not being official or taking that red line off of John's property. That's completely fair. And in fact, I think that's fine.
Okay, so we will make a note to take those. There's three spaces, correct?
I don't really know. I mean, when I drew it out, it was probably wasn't even intentional on that side of it. It was more just showing where cars can fit.
Right, but we'll note that in the permit then. And then Sean, I have a question to ask too. So we keep saying that this is a conditional use permit for Hills and Hollows, but this is for Balancing Rock LLC. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And for the public that weren't here when this was all discussed last time, you know, everything in the code is always going to come back to the property owner and the land use. And right now that is a real estate company called Balancing Rock LLC that owns all of that. And Hills and Hollows, although it's the anchor and everybody knows the area for being Hills and Hollows, it's not the only business there. And this food truck would be an addition to the area that Balancing Rock is responsible for. And so that's how it would be listed on insurance and other documents and or it's the technical answer. So that is why it says Balancing Rock, not Hills and Hollows.
Right, because I want to start not using Hills. Well, I just don't want to use Hills and Hollows because that's not the legal name that we are legally what we're doing. I just wanted to clarify that for you.
Thank you.
With you. Okay. Do we have any? Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa. Did you have a comment?
That was actually my comment addressing the deceased to all the Balancing Rocks. When it showed up on the minutes and the agenda, Hills and Hollows.
Balancing Rock. Okay, so Peg, did you get that?
No, I couldn't hear that.
Lisa, and she was just reconfirming that that it is all supposed to go under Balancing Rock LLC. That we are using Hills and Hollows and the Burger Wagon basically, but it's Balancing Rock LLC. Does anyone else have any comments?
Colleen, I think Elizabeth has a comment.
Elizabeth?
Yeah, if you all are taking comments, then I would just say based on your earlier discussion with Lee regarding water and septic, I would think that the Planning Commission would want to research raise concern and the letter from the Health Department before a vote. Although there's no real change to the property, the traffic and use of the septic will increase with the food truck with regular hours compared to an occasional pizza night and such.
Does anyone else have any comments?
Corla E. Quinta.
Corla?
Yes, thank you. Does Sean, do you own Balancing Rock or who owns that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's myself.
Okay, thank you, sweetie.
Thank you. I can comment on the other note that was just brought up also about the septic. I'm personally on the same page with everybody. Like I've looked into this, I've gone to the health department, I've got quotes on new septic systems and whatnot. I've done the load balance, I've measured out against the neighbor. I'm not attempting to be a bad neighbor in any way whatsoever. I'm looking at doing things to code. And I just think that it's worth noting that if we were to go do this exercise or whatever, I can put in a new septic. It would just end up being the same capacity and the same size, and I'd still need to pump it out. I still think it's the right thing to do to be prepared to clean it out and pump it out the way I have been. And I don't see it that changing. If we added another one up north, it would be put to code. Everything would be done, measured the right way. So I don't I have done everything I can to look into that and help ease this, so I wouldn't get a delay on any additional comments. Just wanted to help everybody ease their mind on that.
Perhaps something that we could do, if the Planning Commission decides to approve or whatever the term is tonight, you know, maybe this is something that we look at the end of the season, once we see how much traffic is going to be there, or you choose to revisit it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you wrote right in your email to us that, you know, that is something that you're looking to do based on traffic in the next year or two.
Okay. All right. I don't really want to, I want to go ahead and move forward with this. We're out of the public hearing right now, and so I want to know if any of the planning commissioners have any more comments before we go ahead and move forward with this.
I have a comment.
I know, Ray, we're out of the public hearing, and I really want to stick with the planning commissioners right now because we're back into our regular meeting. And I appreciate, the thing is, Ray, that I totally understand, same thing with Sean, unless it's something different than what you've already said, is it something different?
Yes.
Okay.
What I'd like to say is that whoever spoke earlier, and I think it was, they said that there had been no changes to the effluent going into that septic system. And that's not entirely true, because in the last few years, they've added two bathrooms and two showers inside the restaurant. They built an additional living space apartment in what used to be a workshop up there. And now they're also, as Elizabeth mentioned, adding additional effluent from the food truck to the system. And there are no records, no engineering, no indication that this thing is a proper septic system.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Pauline, this is Peg.
Yeah.
Just a reminder of how you do what you do right now, after the discussion, if you want to call for a vote, you would vote to approve, you would vote to reject, or you could approve with conditions, because it is an amendment to a conditional use permit ostensibly. So there can be conditions you put on it.
Okay, does anyone have any concerns or questions or comments as far as conditions, or do you want to just go ahead? Is everyone ready to vote? So as Peg mentioned, we're going to make a motion to vote, and you can vote to approve, I'm going to say it again, a vote to approve with conditions or not approve this.
Right.
So I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and move forward with amended CUP for Balancing Rock LLC. Do I have a second?
Do you want to add the conditions while you make the motion?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm going to wait till. So anybody who wants, if I'm going to vote. Do you want me to vote? So
I need a second.
I need a second. Yeah, I need a second.
Does this mean no one is seconding your motion?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I haven't heard anybody second it.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion, but with conditions, and that is to a conditional use permit is something that can be revisited. So I'm speaking off the cuff here, so I might need a minute to hone this down. But the condition would be that the septic use is, we get some evidence from Balancing Rock LLC on when it's pumped or something like that. So we have a clear indication that that might settle the issue around concerns around the neighbors around that. Is there a clearer way to do that than I'm speaking, anyone?
Well, the thing is if you want to, when you vote, then, I mean, you should add that when you vote. So I'm going to make a motion.
Colleen, no, it's actually, the motion has to be what you were actually voting on. So, Matt, I'm not sure what the procedure is for Matt to just come in and make a new motion on top of your motion, but regardless, he made a motion that also needs to be seconded.
I second the motion, Marian Johnson.
And but wait, but it would be nice to be a little bit more definitive, Matt, as far as what you are actually asking for and within some time period.
Okay, so the motion is to approve the amended CUP for Balancing Rock LLC with the condition that we get paper evidence on the pumping schedule of the septic.
Okay.
And at this point, I don't know whether Matt would be into adding this, but since Sean already has all this documentation that he said about it being engineered, I would like those to be included in the CUP application. Would that be okay?
I'm okay with that. Do I...
The paperwork that's already been supplied. Can you be more specific?
Yeah, I think we're going a little too far on this. I think that, again, I think that we need to either vote for this, as Matt has given us, and if you want to vote for that it is inspected or that we have evidence of that inspection, then you can vote for that. If you don't want to vote for that, then that's okay. But I don't want to get too far with the septic thing. I think if it's inspected, I think that's as far as we should carry it. Matt?
Yeah, I believe what I'm saying is pretty straightforward and simple. So we need a second on that and we can vote for it.
I second the motion.
Okay, all in favor? Matt Cochran, aye.
Marian Johnson, aye.
Cookie Schaus, aye.
Pauline Thompson, aye.
Okay, and Haley's recused, so.
Haley's recused. Okay, so I think we made it through that. Thank you, Sean, for all of your information and your patience as we work through this new process. I really appreciate you both doing this. So we will finish with that, and we will talk about upcoming business.
Thank you.
Thank you. So on upcoming business, we want to go with Lee Nelson, Lee Nellis, as far as that build out study. Right, Peg?
Yes, that seems to be the main thing he needs feedback from you all is how to
also the subdivision ordinance,
the build out study.
Yeah, and the subdivision ordinance that he gave us that paper as far as the streets, so that people take a look at how we want to handle that street, the wordage in that. So
but there'll actually be a public hearing on what he's actually put out already.
Right, so yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, a public hearing on that, then a vote.
Yep.
Okay, so then we would have Lee at the beginning with the build out and then the vote. And then I think that's it for right now.
That's all we know right now. With Ray Gardner's RV park and Deer Ranch hanging out there somewhere.
Okay. Well, there's always things that come up, so at least we have one thing.
One big thing. One monstrously big thing.
Yeah. So, okay, so that will be the only thing that we have right now as far as upcoming business for October 14th. And then I'll go ahead and open it up for any final public comments.
Elizabeth. Hold on. There are raised hands from, can you see them, Michaela?
Yeah, in order. Elizabeth, go ahead.
I want to thank everyone for participating, both public and the commissioners or commission members. I wanted to say that I support additional businesses and apologize for not stating that during my previous comment. My intention was to bring attention to consistency. Again, it was a point that Lee previously brought up this evening, and I really think that it's important that we really are aware and strive for consistency across all issues across town business.
Thank you.
Orla, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Years ago when we redid my cabin to make it livable, we went through this water issue and we couldn't get city water for years and years and years and finally dug a well. So I've just recently lived this subdivision nightmare where there were going to be over a dozen septic tanks uphill from my well. So I understand all the concerns, and I'm happy to hear everybody is understanding that and receptive to that. I just want to be sure that however this goes forward and whatever you guys plan, that you really keep that in mind and make sure we don't have to have that nightmare over again and whatever happens and however it happens. I mean, the West is on fire. The Colorado River is drying up and Lake Mead is the lowest it's ever been. So we definitely have a water crisis. I know you guys are aware of this. So I'm just saying, keep that in mind. And thank you all so much for what you do.
Thank you.
John, go ahead.
Okay. You know, I guess I kind of echo Elizabeth saying that, you know, we're supportive of additional businesses in this town. I think it's important that we don't overburden existing businesses. But I think we also need to be careful not to be playing favorites and ignoring the ordinances when we like the project, but enforcing the ordinances when we don't like the project. That's not a good way to run a town. And I just want to remark that in the codified ordinances, chapter 50, section 50.01, says no construction involving the installation or modification of an individual wastewater disposal system in the town shall begin until plans and specifications to the individual wastewater disposal system have been reviewed and approved by the Southwest Utah Public Health Department and a copy of its permit be received by the town. So I think what this is saying is that the town needs to figure out a proper procedure for legalizing this and any other old legacy septic systems that were never documented and approved. So that is kind of a recommendation of maybe how to move forward without overburdening this project, but also not ignoring what's in the ordinances.
Thank you. Donna?
Yeah, I'm gonna go change the subject completely. I was wanting to make a comment in the very beginning and missed out on where to find the handshake, now the hand raise. When we are talking about the street ordinance, and you want to, Lee suggested that everything goes to a variance or to our Board of Adjustments. From my understanding, the regulations of our Board of Adjustments is very, very narrow, and they don't deal with the kinds of things we normally think of as a variance. Their variances are only strictly physical. And I think if long as you're looking at and changing ordinances, since we just changed the street ordinance to help someone, which is great,
but that we should, if we're going to go to a variance, that you guys should look at the Board of Adjustments and it's in light of what is standard elsewhere with the state and other communities, what do they put on their Board of Adjustments and how do people get a variance if needed? Not that I even know anyone might want one, but I just feel like if you're going to go through all the old ordinances, the whole situation with the Board of Adjustments needs to be looked at some point as well if you're going to start leaning on it. So that was just my comment from way back when, and I just wanted to thank you all for everything else.
Thank you, Donna. Tina?
Tina, are you muted? Can't hear you.
I don't see your hand up anymore.
Let's go by Loretta.
Oh.
After you called on her.
You're still muted. I have a bad feeling Tina's talking. Oh, there she goes. Okay. Tina? We didn't hear a thing you said. We still can't hear.
Can you see her or are you sure she's there?
She's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she unmuted and I don't see her physically. There she is, Tina. We can't hear you at all. I don't know, your sound is off. I mean, it doesn't show you're muted, but we can't hear you. Your lips are moving.
Okay, well, I'm not really sure what to do. It doesn't seem like she's...
Tina, if you want to say something, use one of the phone numbers and just call in and we can hear you at least. But while she's deciding if she wants to do that or not, can I just say something to...
It looks like she's saying go away. Okay. It doesn't look like she's trying to say anything. So Peg, go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say something about the Board of Adjustment is very specifically controlled by state law and everyone's Board of Adjustment works the same way. And she's right, there's five specific criteria for awarding a variance and everybody has to follow exactly the same criteria. And a lot of it does have to do with a specific piece of property and a specific hardship related to the topography or something specific to that piece of property. She's correct. But it kind of does apply to these. Anyway, I'll shut up. I just wanted to say that about state law and everyone's the same as far as Board of Adjustments. That's all.
Thank you, Peg. Is that it?
Tessa wanting to say something?
Yeah, I have a question. Maybe this was addressed, but and this goes back to what Lee was talking about with the building and the capacity of the town. Maybe he addressed it, but I imagine that the estimate that he gave of those 450 lots didn't include the lots that could be developed outside of town limits. And obviously any like septic and water capacity issues don't know anything of the actual town lines. And so I'm just wondering in any decision that the town makes about a moratorium or about changing zoning, either temporarily or permanently, like how the potential of other lots that the town doesn't have legislation over because it's in the county, like how they can factor that into decisions when just to preserve the water and the septic issue. Because obviously the outside area affects it, even though the town doesn't have control over the laws there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Thank you for your comment, Tessa. Okay, so can we make a motion to close the meeting? I make a motion to close the meeting. Sorry.
I'll second that motion. Matt Cochran, all in favor? Aye.
Julie Apperson, aye.
Good night. Vicki Schaus, aye.
Marian Johnson, aye.
Wayne Thompson, aye. Thank you, everyone, for your help and your input.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good night.